And now, live from Pod Cabin in Burbank, California, it's the Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend show. Tonight, Allison welcomes her guests. He's a comedian, musician, and podcaster that, if he had his way, I'd introduce him as Gat Morley. It's Matt Gourley. Plus, he's also a comedian, musician, and podcaster that if Matt had his way, well, I guess he'd still be Mark McConville. It's Mark McConville. Husband Daniel is here, or should I say, Dusband Handiel. I'm producer Tony, and I'll say the thing that Daniel always says, or will I? Hop on board the Bovlus and say hello to your new best friend, Allison Rosen.
Hello, my little Cheerios sautéed in salt and butter. Welcome to another exciting episode of Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend, that particular carbohydrate which got some curious looks, I would say, just now, was sent in on Patreon by Ashley Jock. And she said, and I quote, "I promise it's delicious." Yes, I am on Patreon. All sorts of fun stuff over there. You can get the Friend Zone. That is my Patreon bonus podcast. There's a level where you can text me and I'll text you back and more. If you're going to subscribe, I recommend going for an annual subscription and getting 2 months free, patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
That's a good deal.
And then also, my new thing is mentioning it at the top. If you like what you're hearing, or even if you don't, rate, review, subscribe. We read the reviews on the show sometimes, and they just help out the show, and it just makes me smile. Thank you all so much for your support. Okay, I would like to say hello to my guests, and also this is episode 2 of this year's edition of Tony's Picks. Tony's Picks. Excellent job with the intro.
Thank you.
For people who listened exactly 2 years ago, they'll get it. And the other ones will have to just catch on. Matt Gourley, hello. Welcome back.
Hi. Good to be back. I feel like I'm just every year is Tony's Picks is like a reunion. You know.
I know. Yeah, that's right. And in case you thought to yourself, oh, I didn't get the call in 2023. We didn't. I take it you didn't
you know,
think that.
I didn't even. Was it 2022 that we
yes.
did this?
And then the intention was to do this every year, but we just forgot.
Tony,
the years go
did
by
Did you
so
forget,
fast.
Or you just didn't say anything?
Yeah, I didn't say anything.
Why?
I don't know. It's your show.
Well, I know, but sometimes I need reminders. Anyway, oh, you know what that means? We'll just have to do 2 months of Tony's Picks this year to make up for it.
I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah,
and plus interest, 2.5 months.
That's right. And just we'll do them while I'm on tour.
Yes.
I'm not even here. Yeah.
So wait, we're doing 25% interest? That works for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's podcast going rate. That's podcast vig.
Hello, Mark McConville.
Hi, how
Welcome
are you?
Back.
Allison's a good problem to have if you forget that you do a segment, right? It means like you're just going along the years going, you're chugging along with content.
I guess so.
Or you have early onset dementia.
One or the other.
It's one or the other. Yeah. Or both.
It could be both.
I guess that's good, though. Yeah, because I wasn't like, God, how do we spruce things up?
How are we going to get through the spring?
Right. How am I going to fill 2.5 months?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where it came from originally. It wasn't a desperate thing, but it was just like, I'm so tired.
You want to change it up?
No, I'm so tired.
No.
That's just her wanting me to do things for her.
I'm so tired of all this booking and this coming up with stuff, you know? And I want to change things up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess I was really in the flow in 2023.
Yeah, sometimes you got it. Sometimes you need Tony to do some picking.
That's right. And then this year, it was kind of a combo. Who cares? There's no one. There's no one listening who's like, wait. What percentage was it wanting to change things up? And what percentage was it laziness?
This is huge for you, though, because you're realizing it in the moment while still talking about it.
Thank you. I think I'm having a breakthrough.
Great.
Wait a minute.
Breakdown.
That was such an insult.
Could be both.
Yeah. Are you guys going to stick to your positive and negative personas throughout the whole podcast? I mean, I'm not saying that's who you normally are. I'm saying you guys are kind of like, you know, like
sure.
In improv, you you set up a game.
Like, I'm bad cop, he's good cop?
Yes.
Is that what... God, I didn't even realize we kind of slid into that. No, I'd like to formally apologize because I didn't mean to come into this bad cop. I'm good cop. I'm great cop.
Great cop, good cop. I think one...
Not effective.
One dynamic that someone described us as is Gilligan and the Skipper.
Okay.
Where Matt is Gilligan and I'm constantly...
But Vince Gilligan and Skipper the Barbie doll.
Okay.
It's confusing.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Daniel, hello.
Hi. Welcome Thank you.
Good Glad to see be you. Here. Are you loving this little vacation from intros?
It really, like, I'm going to have a margarita later. This really does feel like a vacation. It's nice. Yeah.
Why don't we start with us?
We really should.
Yeah. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Did we get to hear the 2022 Tony's Picks?
Oh, you talking about this?
Tony's Picks.
Yeah, I remember that. Those were dark times.
Yeah.
I like the new one.
The new one I spent so much time on. Right. I really need to play it as much.
You needed that extra year.
Yeah.
Let's just hear it one more time.
Oh, yeah.
Tony's Picks. You think it's going to be over, and then it really kicks in.
Oh, it's just, I mean, like I said, I put some serious time into
it. Yes, I can feel it.
Like I said last week, upwards of 2 minutes on that. So.
Those are two well worth it minutes.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Does upwards of 2 minutes mean under 2 minutes? Like you're
you almost made it to 2 minutes.
Yeah. No. I mean, what? That's
close, but not exceeding.
Long, so.
You know, here's the thing, though. This podcast is usually like 90 minutes, and you could also describe it as upwards of 2 minutes, technically.
Right. Yeah. Also described as a bit much.
One time it was, yes. My friend let me know that his wife thought the length of the podcast was a bit much, but Daniel and I, for going on like 6 years now, have been like, why did he tell me that? Why pass that on?
What did he tell you?
He said that
his wife listened to the show.
Uh-huh.
And she thought Yeah, was it the length though, or was it the show in general?
No, we were assuming she meant the length.
We made that assumption?
I think he said that she thought it was a bit much.
But he said it like this, like a bit much.
Okay.
Oh, wow. But I didn't think it was as insulting.
It could be that you're
sounds.
A bit much.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that I really thought it was the length.
Maybe he did say that because I think we both came away thinking that's what he meant.
Yeah.
So.
But then in the years since, upwards of a year, and by that I mean 6 years, I've been wondering.
Are we getting into like bi-weekly and bi-monthly? Mm. The word that means twice a week
and every also
every
other
week.
And half 11, depending on whether you're in England or America, means.
What's half 11? I've never
like
heard
in
half
England,
11.
In England, they'll say half 11, and it means. See, this is
five and a half.
Half past here, 11:30. Half to 11 there.
Oh,
but half two and half past are the same.
Okay,
half past 11, but half to 11.
Oh no, they're not the same. You're right.
Wait, so half 11 is 11:30?
10:30.
10:30.
Nope. Never going there. London? No. Scratch it off the list.
But what if I had that wrong? I could be the problem.
Well, were you showing up places a little bit late?
In England?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never applied this. I just know they do that on TV shows that are from England.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, what's an example? Like, Call the Midwife?
All creatures big and small. I've never seen these shows. I just assume. No, I watched Criminal Record recently, and they didn't do it.
I've seen Law and Order and they don't do it on that.
Yeah.
So that's enough proof for me.
Okay, well, great.
Is that a British show?
Nope. That's
But it's Criminal Record?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking Criminal Minds.
Yes.
This is Criminal Record with Peter Capaldi and Cush Jumbo.
Cush
Excuse
Jumbo?
Me?
Tony, write that down.
I know.
Is that a real name? Like, is that their
stage
name?
I think it's a real
name.
Cush Jumbo.
Yeah. How are we spelling that?
Like it sounds, C-U-S-H, and then
okay,
Jumbo, like
British.
I was going to go K. Yeah.
Like, if your last name is Jumbo, do you go with a traditional first name, or do you just lean in and say, fuck it?
I don't
it?
Know. Like, I mean, it could
let's
be...
Let's try some of them out.
It could be, like, an international
Bob
name.
Jumbo?
Rick Jumbo.
Max Jumbo.
Lauren Jumbo.
But Lauren is a man?
I mean, it could be a woman.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get stuck with the last name, whether you're...
Right. I thought we were offering Kush replacement names.
Well, I'm not going to assume Kush is a man.
It is a woman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See?
And it does appear that is the real name.
It's not a nickname?
All it says on Wikipedia, which, you know, is 100% reliable, but there's no, like, usually it says if they have a different name.
Well, Jumbo did start out as the name of an elephant.
Yeah.
And we made it into this word that means big because of the elephant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Kush Jumbo just sounds like a weed strain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like you're going to be high for a week.
Take some Kush Jumbo.
Right.
Take some.
and plant it.
Wait, I had no idea that Jumbo really just...
Yep.
Is Jumbo the elephant that met a sad demise?
Well,
Dumbo.
I mean,
that's Dumbo. Well, but also Jumbo. Wasn't it like that electric guy?
Any circus animal from the 19th century met a sad demise.
No, but also,
Dumbo's demise.
Dumbo doesn't have a sad demise.
You're thinking of Bambi's mom.
Thinking of, yes.
Dumbo just is, there's some sadness in Dumbo.
No, I'm thinking
of... Well, they cut the end off. Oh. Yeah, the original ending, very sad demise for Dumbo.
You know Thomas Edison and the elephant situation.
Yeah,
was that Jumbo?
Oh, I don't think it was Jumbo. Jumbo was famous. It was a famous elephant. And
Tony,
circus elephant.
Can you look up Thomas Edison's elephant?
I thought you wanted
elephant.
To Google Jumbo, the famous elephant.
Look, what's Edison's elephant connection?
So it's really dark and sad.
Great.
So is Criminal Record.
Yeah.
Starring Kush Jumbo?
Uh-huh. Co-starring.
I don't even know the whole story, but I think to... illustrate like electricity, right? They electrocuted an elephant.
He was trying to show the danger. Yeah. Maybe he was trying to discredit Tesla's. I think there was something to do with the competition between the two, and he would just electrocute elephants
to
death.
Why elephants? Because you think you can't kill an elephant?
Super easy to get.
Right.
They're everywhere, man.
Back then, but now they're not.
Yeah.
Just like with the lions and tigers and bears of the Colosseum. You know, they were everywhere in Europe, and then they used them for sport, and now they're dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is just like that.
It was not Jumbo. It
okay.
was Topsy.
Topsy.
Don't you feel stupid?
I feel like a real ninny.
Yeah. It was a female Asian elephant who was electrocuted at Coney Island in January 1903.
Sad.
Oh,
but like in front of people?
Yeah,
you
could probably buy tickets.
It was like a spectacle. I think this elephant had... They claimed... that this elephant was aggressive. And so I don't know that this elephant had done something, you know, delinquent or whatever. So it was kind of like,
oh, yeah.
Like a public hanging almost.
During her 25 years there, Topsy gained a reputation as a bad elephant and
by
killed
responding
a spectator.
To what?
Killed a spectator in 1982.
She electrocuted
1902 and was sold to Coney Island Sea Lion Park, which, by the way, last part I need to share also. Topsy was used in publicity stunts and also involved in several well-publicized incidents attributed to the actions of either her drunken handler or the park's new publicity-hungry owners, Frederick Thompson and...
Phantom of the Opera.
Elmer Skip Dundee.
Oh, my God. Names.
Wow.
So, it was so good back then.
Who was the guy,
Doodles Weaver?
Doodles Weaver, yeah.
Who's that?
Sigourney Weaver's uncle, right?
Early in the pandemic. Early in the pandemic, did you guys do this where it'd be like, oh, it's time to go on our walk?
Yeah.
Wearing
Yeah.
So depressing.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, let's put on our masks. We're going to go on our walk now.
And then the people across the street, you'd wave and be like, don't get any closer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No one knew anything. So anyway, on our family walk, which for like half a week was my favorite thing ever. And then I realized very quickly that walking with a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old is just, you just can't get any, it just takes forever.
It's not walking. It's a cattle drive.
Yeah. It was really, so anyway, we passed this house and this house had advertisements for a podcast written on cardboard and like stuck on a stake in the ground. And also like there's all sorts of just miscellany and like cool shit to look at, including these ads for this podcast. And it's like, what a weird way to advertise a podcast. But
just on your front lawn.
Yes.
It was like a hyper local podcast. It was about like that block. Like,
no, it wasn't really though. But
it wasn't?
Anyway.
I thought she was doing it about the neighborhood.
No, it wasn't even that. It was an older.
Yeah, well, we'll get there.
It was an
older
woman.
That's why these are 90 minutes.
And I want to say it was called like, what was it?
The Doodles Weaver podcast.
No, it wasn't even though. I'm like, it worked. I have to. I had to go check it out.
It was called Sex with Every Neighbor on My Block.
It was an older woman who had been an actress. She like interviewed the woman who painted her house or something, but anyway, her ex-husband was someone named Doodles Weaver, and I had to tell Tony about it, and then I didn't even, and then he informed me that he collects names.
I have some crazy names in my family history.
I need to hear about them. Let me just say real fast, though, could you look up Doodles Weaver's former flames, and we can figure out who this
is? Yeah, he has four ex-wives.
Doodles Weaver's former flames.
Yeah, is one of them named like Rania or something?
The assassination of Jesse James.
Ralta?
Yes.
Ralta Green?
Yes, I feel like
they were married from 1957 to 1968.
Wow.
That's a good run.
That flame burned fast.
That was his last wife.
I think her podcast is called like Ralta's World or something. Will you look up that name and then podcast? It's probably the most publicity she's ever gotten.
This is big time.
Yeah, except for. This is the well-traveled.
You guys,
there is a podcast
episode
called Relta's World.
Yep, that'd be it.
Whoa. Yeah.
Can you tell us what some of the episodes are about?
Let's see.
Is she still going?
Looks like the last episode was in 2021, March of 2021.
Oh, she's okay.
Episode titles include Finding Guidance, Strength, and Acceptance. Meet Beverly.
Wait, who's Beverly?
How do you spell meet?
Is that a follow-up to Meet Virginia?
She introduced her new co-host, Beverly Pete. No, Beverly Pate? Pate?
Beverly Pate. It's meat not a, Beverly.
Meat Beverly,
it's not a,
yes.
Oh, M-E-A-T. It's not even a person. She just ate pate that whole episode and talked to her imaginary meat friend.
Of all the things to eat into a mic, pate would...
Oh, God.
You think it'd be... Well, you'd hear a lot of like...
Smacking.
Yeah, but I think crunchy would be worse.
Crunchy's worse.
Oh, yeah. I'd take dry and crunchy over wet and livery.
Well, you're not going to smell it.
I might.
I think ramen's probably the worst.
Oh, because
there's just slurping going on.
Yeah.
Don't eat ramen on a podcast.
Do you know the slurping is considered polite in Japan?
Yeah, I have heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't, is it rude?
I think so.
I think it might be. Yeah.
It means you're not enjoying it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy. Yeah, the slurping is supposed to indicate how much you're enjoying it.
That's very passive aggressive if you don't slurp.
Although, I'm just trying to think. You're eating ramen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not slurp? I guess if you put the whole bite of noodle, the whole noodle bundle into your mouth at once.
And if you go slow, you can not slurp.
Mm-hmm. If you do one noodle at a time,
But you'd have to put the whole, because otherwise to get it into your mouth, you're like.
But also if you do it fast, the ends of the noodles like sometimes go whack, crack, and go in your face.
Right.
Is that a problem in Japan?
Do you slurp when you're doing like a Lady and the Tramp kiss?
Hmm.
Is that rude or gross?
What if they added slurp noises to that scene?
Yeah.
It would sound a little something like this.
Can dogs slurp?
Sure.
Yes.
Can dogs sit at a table and eat spaghetti?
Of course they can do both.
Yeah.
I've heard a dog drink water. I've seen a dog drink water. I have a dog.
I hope she drinks water.
Wow, you're
she drinks water.
You've seen a dog drink water?
I've seen a dog drink water. Yes, I have.
Lower your expectations and you will be happy.
Listen, everyone, I left a piece of paper in the house that has important things on it for myself. So I have to go get it. While I'm gone.
You want me to go get it for you?
Sure. No, because you're not going to be able to find it. What did you say?
Oh, nothing.
Were you saying that seems like a good idea?
That seemed like it makes more sense. Yeah,
I mean.
It does.
Do you want to try to find? Okay, let me tell you about the paper.
All right.
It came off this pad.
Okay.
And it has stuff written on it. Good luck.
Okay.
I think it's on my desk somewhere.
Well, I definitely will not find it then.
Can he do it?
All right.
I think he will. Yes. Nice. It's got names and whatnots.
Having never seen your desk, is how much of a challenge will this be?
So if it was something that I hadn't lost today, it would be a challenge because my desk is very messy.
Got it.
However, the mess has like encroach so that really we're talking about a small area of working space, which is where it is. So that's where he'll look, hopefully.
Mm.
So, oh, see, he already found it.
Oh, look at that.
Terrific.
God.
Amazing. Well
that was done. Really fast. Where was it?
Right on your desk.
Mm-hmm. As advertised. Okay, so let's get into what have you guys been up to since I've seen you?
This was 2022.
Okay. It was around this time of 2022.
Okay, so I was a new father then.
Newish.
Newish, yes.
Yes, and you were saying, and we were talking a little bit about the sleepless nights, and you were just saying, like, you just love every second of it. And I remember thinking, he's a better person than I am.
The sleepless nights I said I loved?
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't. I don't know. Well,
I take that back.
Thank you. Tony, pull that old episode. I don't know specifically that it came on the heels of sleepless nights, but you just had such a great attitude about how hard it all is.
Oh. Well, yeah, I guess that has, I'll walk a little bit about that back. It's still obviously well worth it. It's amazing. And we went through a real sleepless nights phase that we all went crazy. And so having come out of that, I feel better. But I'm a changed man.
In what direction?
Dark.
Okay. Yeah. So good. What happened?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, I just, rise. Was the phoenix, he's the guy that comes
out
of the ashes?
He rises from the ashes, yeah.
But not to triumph, just to get back to, like, sea level.
Okay.
I feel like you're describing Sisyphus.
Oh, yeah.
You're rolling a stone up a hill.
It was Sisyphus, but I got up the hill. Knock on wood. God.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, okay.
When was this period of sleepless nights? Was it before 2022?
No, it was the run up to Christmas of last year through April. Beginning of April. Yeah.
What happened?
This month.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Glenn was eternally sick from daycare and she doesn't handle it well. And she would just be up all night throwing vicious tantrums that were, you know, like we've since been, you know, informed they're fine. It's normal. Everybody does this. But I was like, oh my God, what do we do? You know, I was so scared.
What did you think was happening? Like your child was broken?
No. I just was like, I couldn't sit by and like watch her suffer like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was insane. I just had never experienced anything like that. And so, oh gosh, this didn't go where I meant it to go.
I already talked about like horrible elephant demise.
Everything's fine. I should say like, and we're all, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We came through it and everything's, you know, within the realm of normal. And
she was half two.
Yeah. Back. Yeah.
She's half two.
She was
two half or half one.
No, she's half one.
Back then she was half one.
Yeah.
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 Does that mean 6 months or 1 year and 6 months?
6 months.
Which country are we in?
Yeah.
Right.
America, goddammit.
That's right.
So then actually she'd be.
She was half of one.
Well, we came on in April in 2022. So she was like eight months old.
Oh, good. We can't do our England-America thing then.
We don't have to.
The fractions aren't.
She was half 16 months.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or half past 4 months, right?
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be 6 months?
Yes. Half past. Oh, my God. Half past 5.5 months.
Too much math for me.
Half past 5.5 months.
Too much math.
I am exhausted. Sorry.
Time to have Tony take over.
Take it.
Hey, what's new, Matt?
Well, I'm glad you threw it back to me. I've since we last spoke a couple seconds ago, I'm all good.
Great.
Okay, so you went through a crazy time with your daughter, but you're coming out of it. All right, so I feel we're caught up on Matt Gourley.
Yeah.
Mark, what about you?
Well, I just celebrated my 10th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
In a little country called Japan.
Oh.
Did you slurp?
I did slurp. I'm trying to think. Did we even eat any ramen? We did. I did slurp.
Wow.
For sure.
Do you think going to Japan and not eating ramen is as insulting as eating ramen and not slurping?
Well, no, I don't think anyone would know.
Depends.
No one would know.
Okay.
You could easily just eat 7-Eleven egg salad sandwiches the whole time you're there.
Are those good?
Those are good. They are really good.
Yes.
Specifically Japanese 7-Eleven egg salad. Yes,
convenience store egg salad sandwiches.
The konbini. Yeah.
That's right.
Amanda's been trying to find those around town.
Don't find them here. She's been trying to find 7-Eleven egg salad sandwiches.
Not 7-Eleven, no, these little Japanese boutiques that sell them, you know, like boutique delis or whatever.
What's so special about them?
I just think like
it's a fluff. It's a texture.
The quality of food is good. I mean, my wife's a vegetarian, and so some Japan is such a meat heavy
the Japans,
and the she's constantly like, I don't know what I'm going to eat. Like I don't. So the egg salad sandwich is a reliable thing.
So it's fluffy. The egg salad.
The bread is fluffy. The egg salad.
Does it have a crust?
Fresh?
No, often it doesn't. And the egg salad is very whipped. It's almost Miracle Whip. But
you can also get like a breaded chicken cutlet on that bread or a breaded pork cutlet. Delicious.
Is the bread thick?
It doesn't last. It's almost sponge cakey.
Yeah.
It's really
interesting.
It's good.
Now,
they're everywhere.
This egg salad, I'm going deep on this.
Okay.
You say it's whipped, but does it have chunks of egg in it or is it more like a, it does. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember, was it Fumami? Was that
Famima?
Famima, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Two exclamation marks.
Yeah.
They
is
them.
What?
They have
Is
those.
That one of these convenience stores?
Oh, it was, but it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we did go to a Famima in Japan.
Oh, they have them there still?
Yeah. Well, there's one.
Oh, man, it's worth going.
They also have, don't they have like, there's like a triangular rice with tuna fish inside of it?
Yeah, that's good.
Those are supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
What is this rice triangle?
Seaweed. It's seaweed covered. I don't know what they're called.
I don't either.
Yeah, but they're like...
Did you know that Japan is the only place where Tony will wear a bathrobe? Yeah. Otherwise, he does not wear robes.
I'm sure you guys knew that. We talk about that a lot.
On principle?
That might be true of me, too.
I don't know why this is a thing she loves to bring.
I do.
It's a thing like mentioned in a conversation once.
He even has a nickname. No robe,
no
Tony.
Robes,
oh, boy.
Play the drop. We also have this.
You do?
What do we have? Are you talking about this?
Robes!
That's how much she likes talking about robes.
You just don't enjoy them or you have an aversion to them?
He has a personal policy and a stance.
Oh. I've never owned one. And I don't
wear them at home either.
I don't either.
Yeah. It is a robe-friendly culture, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But that's not why you wear it there, is it?
I think I literally put it on just to oh, there's one in the hotel room and
there's robes in other hotels, Tony.
They don't look like your normal.
Okay, so it is because it's a robe forward culture.
Right.
I think that's true because we stayed in a bunch of different places and everywhere we went, you open the closet and you're like, that's a good looking robe.
Yeah. Right.
Unlike here where it's just a white terry cloth.
So is this not, it's not terry cloth?
No, they're
it
like.
It depends.
Well, they have a name. I forget. It's not katana. I know that's the sword, but it's not kimono. It's a kanata or tanaka? No, that's a character from James Bond. what are they? Yukatas?
That might be right.
Yukatas. And we bought a bunch when we were in Japan for like $3 a piece. And we came home with a suitcase full of yukatas thinking, we'll have a yukata party just in time for cultural appropriation to come hit and everybody. We can't do this.
That is actually my one thing that I worry about with this. Because I've been to Japan now 3 times. And I feel like I'm not that guy. I don't think I'm the guy that's like, Japan is like nothing else, which it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'm shouting it from the rooftops in the way that some people sort of are.
And you don't want to be
appreciate,
that guy.
You can appreciate a culture without fetishizing it. Like you can like it. There's something, there is that like white guy going to Japan and being way too into the Asian girls. Yeah. But that's one thing. You know, and there's even a word for it. I think they have for those guys, like who are really into anime
creeps.
And are kind of fetishized Japanese culture. No, I can't remember what it is, but you can like respect the culture and like it. It's
It was great. It was a great trip. It was really cool. We saw Mount Fuji, and then of course my wife was like, "We should scale Mount Fuji." It's like, all right, I guess we're coming back. But that seems impossible too. By the way,
right.
Amanda's done that.
She has.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not impossible.
No, I think it's not that.
They have trails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full day.
Where'd you go in Japan?
We were in Tokyo. We were in Kyoto. And we were in what I thought was going to be a very remote mountain town at the base of Mount Fuji. And it was sort of like Lake Arrowhead or Big Bear
called?
Mountain town. I would have to look it up. But yeah, I mean, it was great.
Can we get back to this katana party?
Yeah, that's a different party, by the way.
The rope party.
That's the sword party.
Rope. Oh, sorry. What?
Yukata, I think?
Yukata. Yeah, yukata party.
Right. Yakuza.
Yakuza party. That is bloody. Okay. How many did you buy? And before you decided that you couldn't have this party, what had you planned? Like, how did you envision this? Is it just a regular party with robes?
We probably bought about 10 or 12 because they were so cheap, and they fold up fairly small, and they're beautiful, and they really are cool, and they feel kind of like strangely mid-century or something here, you know, because the Japanese influence and that kind of architecture. And we kept them until I just emptied our storage pod because we're doing this big move from the garage and stuff. And Amanda's podcasting partner I was supposed to drop off all these headphones and like mixers and keyboards and everything. And I accidentally gave her the suitcase with all the yukatas.
This is like a movie. Like,
What is this? You were supposed to give me all these headphones and everything, and it's wigs and yukatas.
Wait, were wigs part of the party too?
No, wigs were not part of the party, but they got packed in there as sort of like, this is the costume. Like,
did you move on? Did you move on from some wigs and some stuff?
I'm getting rid of a lot of things.
Yeah, that's a thing. Time. That's a hot debate in our house.
No more.
Whether to keep wigs or not?
Yeah.
I don't want any more costumes, A, for the storage, but I don't want that stuff there because I don't really want to do costume stuff anymore. You know?
Oh, you're making like you're transcending.
I think
you're
evolving. Done with that. You know, with certain exceptions, but I don't want to go do shows where I have to wear a wig or
anything.
Yeah, that. My wife's under the strong opinion that you should hang on to the quality wigs and costumes because they're hard to find when you need them. And I always think, when am I going to need them?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have the room, I guess, keep
Here's
them.
What I've kept. A smoking jacket and lederhosen.
Yeah, that they say, if you only have two things, you know, that'll get you everywhere pretty much.
And I have seen you in that lederhosen,
that's
I think, right?
Yeah. In a stormtrooper suit.
What kind of shows are you talking about that you don't want to do anymore that involve costumes?
Just those, you know, improv shows where you play a character or something like that and you throw it together with what you got at home or you know. Anything like that.
Matt, you don't want to make a TikTok video where you're talking to yourself, but you're
that,
wearing
that
a wig.
Especially I don't want to.
You don't want to do that?
No.
Do you want to do the one where you're like, I'm an on-air producer. Of course I'm going to something.
Yeah.
I'm an on-air producer. Of course, you know, like that thing.
Anything that's become an online
meme,
like de facto meme. I'm seeing this too with like a lot of home renovation where everything begins and it's usually a woman in Lululemon and a staple, like a nail gun, going, let's build a built-in fireplace. Not that yours would be
careful.
I'm talking about the memification of
this.
And they're all exactly the same, done the same way, you know, chalk colored paint, shiplap, everything like the same exact thing, but the way they word it is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And it's something.
They're just copying each other.
Yeah.
Like they just say that works and that's just what they do. Yeah.
A ton of this leading up to this trip to Japan, I went on Instagram just looking for, I was reading all kinds of things, but one of the things was Instagram. And the thing that eventually I just snapped was when you're in Tokyo, you have to go to this place. And I was like, actually, I fucking don't.
Yeah.
I don't have
exactly.
to.
Exactly. That's my response. Because you're doing this wrong.
Every one of them was just.
Yeah.
When you're in Tokyo, you have to climb these stairs. What? No, I don't. I don't have to.
You don't have to. And I can't wait till we get to our product thing because mine relates to this.
But did you really experience Tokyo then?
Yeah.
I don't
you
know.
Didn't
you
stairs.
Didn't. You didn't. You're doing Tokyo wrong.
Yeah, you did it
don't
wrong.
Don't go to Shibuya Sky. Go to Asahi Platform.
Yeah.
That's like a real thing.
I know, but who
is
are these
train
people
platform?
That present as experts?
Well, Shibuya Sky is like it's the top floor and it's got a huge view of Tokyo, but it's always crowded because social media has saturated us. And a friend of mine said, like, it's hard to get lost anymore. And I think that was maybe a theme of this trip because everywhere we went was just, I guess 4,000 people have to take one photo here. That's actually not that great. You just would go like, I think I'm just going to walk around a little more and explore because every place that is the spot you have to go, guess what? Everyone is listening.
And is there anything better than just discovering something off the beaten path. I mean, that's always, mm-hmm. you know, it's the greatest.
Yeah, but it is harder and harder to do.
That's how I felt about seeing the Mona Lisa. Like, there was just such a crush of people, and it was under glass, and it was just, the only thing special about it was like, okay, I've seen it.
Right.
But I couldn't have a moment with it.
I've never seen it, and I feel like after some traveling, I don't think I will ever see it because of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's not an experience I'm interested in. I would rather explore and find another thing that's not the Mona Lisa, obviously, but that would be special because of the exploration of it, not because I like the photos of the people just like holding a selfie stick up, hoping that photograph will be above the heads and
that
the other
is
cameras.
Always, like, what is your picture of the Mona Lisa going to do for you? You know what I mean? There are better pictures of the Mona Lisa. Is it because the one you took somehow?
She is definitively smiling in my photo.
Yeah. On that day, we got her on a special day.
She's congruent in my photo.
Right. Turns out all you have to do is say cheese. Right. She'll smile.
Right. So the
Yakuza
party. The Yakuza party. I'm sorry, I have to go back to it. So 10 to 12 people were going to wear mid-century robes.
I suppose so.
And then what?
I think we would have cocktails, and this was all in theory. And I think if we ever really sat and thought about it, we'd think, A, this is a very specific type of person you can invite to this party without them getting weirded out. You know what I mean?
Why would they get weirded out?
Well, if you said, hey, come on over and then swap out of your clothes and then get in the robe.
Yeah,
where's this going?
Okay.
I guess you could. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, certainly, but not at our party. You had to go nude.
Okay. And then, like, what kind of food were you going to eat?
I don't think we got this far, but probably burgers. No,
of course.
Just kidding.
Naturally.
Chick-fil-A.
All right.
I don't know. I mean, knowing us, we would have done something stupid like, we've done this once before. It's actually not that expensive to rent a hibachi and a crew to come to your backyard and
I've
do the Benihana thing. So maybe we would have done that or something.
When you do that, do they do all the same like humor and tricks?
Throw shrimp at your face.
Onion volcano.
Yeah. Yes. It is scripted. It's the same thing.
Really?
It's basically like also
shrimp
if you work
pocket.
At a theme park, from theme park to theme park, you get the same jokes from the atmosphere.
Right.
Talking
right.
characters and stuff. Yeah.
Matt, may I also say, having walked around, I just thought of this, having walked around in Kyoto where people are dressed in these, in the traditional garb, but it's a lot of white people. Every time I walk by it, I just went like,
Kyoto. I didn't see that when we were
there. Was like
really?
Women in sort of traditional geisha, but they were not Japanese women. And it felt weird to
there's
me.
I was like,
oh, I don't want to be around this. So bullet dodged on let Amanda's partner have those robes.
Yeah.
You don't need them.
Well, she gave them back.
Oh.
But then I think
what time's the party?
I think they're at the Goodwill on Fair Oaks if anybody wants to get it.
There's a district in Kyoto where the actual Japanese geisha.
The Gion district. The,
yes. They've closed it.
That's
to
right.
all foreigners.
And
maybe
I've
everyone.
Been there.
Have you?
I didn't get a geisha. I mean.
Yeah. So they closed it because people were coming up and wanting photos and touching their hair. And these are not like costume characters at an amusement park. They were. This is their life.
Yeah.
So it was really intrusive.
Get it together.
We were there in late March and it closed in April.
Oh, wow.
April 1st, I believe.
I'm sorry. This is a really dumb question. But the geisha district, like.
It's just a lot of fucking.
Hookers?
Yeah, so what do the geisha do now? Are they all, is it a prostitute?
Great question.
Thing?
I didn't get a good answer from her.
Come on. You'll tell us.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. We did a walking tour. We had a guide who was sort of like, here's this temple, here's the, like, and we sort of asked about it, and boy, he just didn't really want to talk about it. I believe he used the phrase entertainment host.
That's what they say.
So a wrestler.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think they were more, they would do
like
more
an
than
escort.
Just, yeah, well, yeah. It was like they would play music and they would serve you tea.
Yeah, it is like an art, though, like a culture thing. But I think it also does involve some balls deep.
Traditionally.
Some light fucking.
Traditionally,
yeah.
The Tony, question is, do they
up,
still?
Look up geisha.
Yeah,
don't,
Tony.
Tony, don't.
Look it up.
You're going to have to light that computer on fire when you're done.
I just want the definition.
Just as they're female Japanese performing artists and entertainers trained in traditional Japanese performing arts styles such as dance, music, and singing, as well as being proficient conversationalists and hosts.
Okay, I feel like my question is actually insulting then, but isn't that kind of the understanding of what a geisha is?
I think that maybe traditionally it involved
like
prostitution, but it was all that other stuff too, and maybe that sloughed off. I mean, I don't know.
Can you Google, does a geisha still get at it going on?
Yeah, get it going on. Do they? It's a good question.
Another thing does come up then, and it says, geisha, a member of a professional class of women in Japan whose traditional occupation is to entertain men in modern times, particularly at businessmen's parties, in restaurants, or tea houses.
Yeah, maybe it isn't really a sexual
thing. But we all have
an implication
that of it. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, could you look up Matt Gourley robe party?
Yeah.
Click the third hit, though. Because the other ones
are sponsored.
You don't want the sponsored ads?
Yeah, those
Those are just scammers trying to capitalize on the interest.
Yeah.
So when we last talked, did you guys have your mall podcast yet? And do you still do that?
I don't think they
have. I don't think we did.
Okay.
And we don't as we will again, I'm sure. We
yeah,
just
it's
haven't.
Never it's on ice, let's say.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean we never it was never meant to be like a weekly thing necessarily. So
it
we
couldn't
bring,
be.
No.
Having done a handful of them, it just there's no way.
It's not enough.
There aren't
malls.
Enough malls.
Yeah.
You guys are so defensive. Is there a large audience of people who are like, where's my weekly mall walk-in podcast?
People are pretty cool.
They're understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. I actually have some physical evidence that proves that they are understanding.
I would love to see it.
Oh, my God.
The podcast has a P.O. box.
Oh.
And so these are some letters and postcards and such. I think it's this one that is a holiday card from the Irwin family.
Oh, they look
but
so
nice.
But
it says on the back of this, you probably won't get to this until September of 2020, Flynn.
Is this
I
an
think
inside
they just,
joke?
Well, I just
no,
people
but
know
it's in line.
That I'm going to sit on these cards and letters that we get, and we're going to get to them when we get to them. So... Yeah, but isn't
good
that nice,
family.
Matt?
That is nice.
I also like that, I'm sorry, but I could just see that in huge letters it also says, go screw.
Yeah. Which is an inside joke. You know, you got this guy, like a little Christmas card. This is for you, Matt. This is a Michael Myers, Mariah Carey mashup poster that I've been meaning to give you, but I just have. So, yeah, you know, people, when they write in, they'll just amazing. Go like, hey, I know you're probably not going to look at this for a decade.
Yeah.
We do need to get to Pointy Hills Mall because I think it's in danger of closing, and we
if
already
it's not
missed
closed
I'm
at all.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not already closed.
Yeah, but we and did. That's... We have walked around malls and recorded our conversations at said malls.
You should try to get into those abandoned malls.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Wait, have you guys done, what's the mall where you ran into Lizzie Cooperman?
Oh, yeah, they did that. The Arcadia Mall. The, I can't, what's
San Anita?
Oh, the shops
yeah.
of San Anita.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, my family and I were just there the other night. It's a great
have you done South Coast Plaza?
No.
But he's got an inside connection there. I used to go there a lot as a kid.
You have a connection to the
I do have. I do know someone who's worked for them. I did scout it. Just because my wife and I were there, but I went, could we walk this mall? And right away I was like, ooh, there's a ton of security.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of cameras.
The nicer the mall, the more likely we are to get kicked out. We did get kicked out of the shops at Santa Anita, but then we're allowed to come back twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best malls.
Hang on. How did it work that you got kicked out and
I
then you were allowed to come back twice?
I think enough people tweeted at them and then they kind of like, a lot of the malls would be like, if you check with us ahead of time, we'll allow it.
Like
but some of them have recording policies. Like Macy's, we get kicked out of like 4 out of every 10 Macy's.
And Matt insists on going into a Macy's. Let me ask you all this. Yeah. Do you consider the anchor store in a mall part of the mall or do you consider it a separate thing? Like I always thought when I would go, I will say what I think, which is when I would go to the mall, I would never go into the department store. I was there for like Spencer's Gifts and the junk food.
Right.
And
the
concourse of it. I was never an anchor store.
I mean,
person.
First of all, I didn't even know the term anchor store.
Yeah.
But to me, it's all mall.
Yeah, me too.
The whole thing.
The fun of it is the mall. Right.
Yeah.
But I do consider it
part. The destination is the anchor store.
Well,
but I find if I were going to the anchor store, I would only go to the anchor store and I would not even walk into the mall.
But they're connected with open doors. They're part of the same structure.
Okay.
Right, but you use the outer doors to the Macy's or the Bloomingdale's, go in and then out. You wouldn't even know there's a mall
like
there.
If you went to the Glendale Galleria here in Glendale, California,
Yeah.
You might not step foot in that Target. Why would you if you didn't have to?
No, you wouldn't.
But if you're there, going to Target, you'd go to Target. And then you'd
check out the Legos.
I got to go to the Apple store.
Yeah.
Are you saying you always feel this way still?
I do still.
Or just as a kid? As
you can tell very passionately.
I still feel this way.
I mean, yeah. I fall on the side that it's a mall, but I'm not going to like die on that line.
Right. Yeah. You know? So I think I didn't care. The anchor stores.
Is this a real term?
As a kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I did still like the anchor stores because back then, like Sears sold like Star Wars action figures. Sure. And
my JCPenney's and Broadway and Mervyn's, which were my anchor stores, mm-hmm. plus the Boston store, but that's a local thing, even though it says Boston. they had all the best toys.
Yeah.
Yeah. The toy
you
department.
Grew up in Fountain Valley?
No.
I feel like we had this conversation last time.
Whittier.
That's not that crazy to think Fountain Valley is Whittier.
I guess. They're not close, but they're similar.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. I'm not looking at you expecting anything.
Kind of
but
like
I did
you and
look
me.
At you.
I'm also just not a shopper. I have to think, I'm going shopping. For I, a reason really? And yeah. then I'm leaving. I'm not going to wander about and hope to stumble upon a purchase. Mm. I'm very mission oriented when it comes to shopping. And that's maybe where this comes from.
Yeah. But when I was young, I enjoyed shopping because I feel like I watched Family Ties and Mallory was cool. And I read a lot of like 17 and Teen Magazine and YM. And I really wanted to be that kind of teenager. This is when I was younger than that. I think I aspired to like, I'm going to take my outfit.
YM is very aspirational.
Yes. Yeah. And but the true me, I really don't like shopping. Mm. I really don't like wandering. Like it's just, I get overwhelmed easily. I oftentimes will walk into a store and then be like, I can't do this now. And then I'll just leave.
I love, especially Christmas shopping. I'll just go out by myself and do like 4 hours.
You'll have
at
a wander.
Different places. And I really enjoy it. I think it's a sort of Zen thing or something.
I get that.
I'm focused enough, but not. So, like, it's just not a stress thing to me. It's kind of.
I also think in walking these malls with Matt, there, I think maybe once or twice a mall, there's a holy shit, they have a what? They just will have something in a mall that you're like.
Slime Academy.
Slime Academy. Great example.
It's just a, what do they teach?
Slime.
How
to make slime.
Are you familiar with slime?
I mean, I have children, so kind of.
Yeah, there's just a whole mall retail space dedicated to
making slime,
rolling up balls of goo.
Wow.
Yeah. We used to go when I grew up in Tucson, and we would go to the mall just because it was air conditioned.
Right. Sure. That makes sense.
You know, because our house wasn't air conditioned. So we'd be like, let's go to the mall. Yeah. We had a swamp cooler, which is awesome if you like it to be super hot and humid.
Yeah.
So we would just, I would hang out for hours at the mall.
How did you not have an AC in Tucson?
I think about that a lot. It was expensive.
Were they very common back then?
Well, you know, Tucson's dry, so I think a lot of people fooled themselves into thinking that a swamp cooler was a good option because it would blow the air through the water mats into the house. And I guess it would cool it a little, but not you're still sticky and hot at night.
I didn't have AC growing up either, but it was Whittier. And
Yeah, you get winds and so. Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, I would play golf in the summers because they would charge like 50 cents because who the fuck is stupid enough. And I'd play like 9 holes in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the day.
Oh my God.
I don't know. We were crazy.
Wow.
I just get used to it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mall, that was just to be cool. Not cool, but yeah. Cool.
Okay, so mall walking is on ice now. And
you could still listen to the episodes. Yeah. You can listen to me be anxious about entering a Macy's at all.
What kind of like were you guys wearing headphones and holding microphones?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Okay. Yeah, we held handheld microphones because we wanted it to be clear. If anybody wanted to talk to us, they could come talk to us. So we would often talk to like store owners or people that were kicking us out.
I think the last mall we did was that Century City.
Yeah.
Outdoor, and it's sort of an outdoor mall, but we had that conversation in that flower shop. It was great.
Right, with those two workers.
When there are people who are not hung up on, am I going to get in trouble?
Right.
That's pervasive in lots of malls. Yeah. I just felt like everyone was like, who are these guys? What are they doing?
Yeah. Right.
What's happening?
Yeah.
Lots of why rules. Are they here?
Yeah.
But when you just had the casual person that was like, come on into Stitch It.
What?
That's a real store. Stitch It.
Stitchick?
I don't remember.
That's in the Santa Anita shop.
What do they sell?
Clothes. It's a clothing store.
Oh.
It looks nice.
Where does one word end and the other one begin?
Well, we had a debate on there about it because it could be pronounced stitchik.
Is it one word?
Yes.
Stitch.
It's like stitch.
Now I remember.
I see. Stitchik.
Oh, you would think it would be stitchik.
But the woman who worked there said it's stitchik.
Oh, God. I don't like that name at all. No.
Anyway, yeah, she was cool. Like when people are cool and they're like, oh, you're just here.
Stitchik.
I mean, honestly, a spiritual influence on it, I think, is Hülhauser.
Yeah. Oh, the best.
Yeah.
And I think there's just like a get a load of this mall. Wow. Like that's the spirit of the whole show, kind of.
I've been watching a lot of Hülhauser.
You got it.
I don't know why. It just comes up in my YouTube algorithm and I went, I'll go. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like comfort food. Yeah. It's just like you'd watch that, just washes over you.
I once cock blocked Hülhauser.
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
He came to some show we were all doing, and then we ended up at the same bar in Hollywood called Big Wang's, which strangely enough is not a gay bar, but he's gay.
Yeah.
And he was talking to this handsome man and clearly interested in him. And I was so excited to see Hülhauser that I just went up and didn't think about it, but just interrupted him and kind of, I think, ruined his mojo.
Oh,
but he was so nice, and I said, I'm such a fan. He goes, now, do you like me because you like to laugh at me or what? What do you?
Oh, he was aware that people.
I really like you, and I want you to call my friend who's a huge fan. Well, does he like me because he likes to laugh at me? Oh. And he said, I finally convinced him, and he's, well, you know, I just bought a house in Barstow called Volcania, and you have to spiral up the mountain. It looks like a big flying saucer. Y'all should come on up.
Oh, hang on. I think I've heard of that house.
Yeah.
It's a pretty famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was great.
But you didn't take him up on it? I mean, come on.
No, we should have. I don't know.
Who knows what
what
happens at that place.
I know.
Matt, I'm not trying to name drop your podcast, but I was there too.
Oh, yeah. You were there
too. And there was talk of like, all right, is somebody going to have to fool around with Huel?
Yeah.
So we can see this.
Who was it going to be?
It was our friend Corey.
Now, does he narrate and discover things while he has sex too, or is it just what's this?
Wait,
pee with it and it feels good. Do I have one?
Am I wearing a robe?
You know, I went to a yukata party and a katana party and a yakuza party all in one.
You were there that night.
I was also there. Yeah.
Okay. What's Corey look like?
Gilligan.
Yeah.
People would often mistake he and I.
Which that's stunning to me. I know this is probably interesting to 100th percent of the population, but yeah.
Yeah.
Which
do you ever have that where someone will go like, you look just like this person? You're like, okay.
I used to get it a lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't feel like I run into people that look like me all the time, and yet apparently I look just like someone that everyone knows.
That typically is a very well-meaning thing to say to a person, and it almost always is insulting.
Never say it.
Never
tell
say
anyone
it.
They
if
look
you
like
think,
someone.
Boy, this person looks like... Don't.
You know what I'll do sometimes?
Unless it's like the hottest person on the planet.
Right.
Yeah. Gilligan.
Right.
You look like Bob Denver.
Sometimes if I see someone, I'm like, oh, they look just like someone. Then I'll go, who do people tell you look like?
Mm.
That's my
save. Oh, a twist.
Mm. Yeah.
And then if they say, no one, why?
Then you go,
Bob Denver.
Bob Denver, exactly.
Like me.
Hey, it's Todd Perry from Allison Rosen's other podcast, Allison and Todd After Hours. And I think the big reason why younger people really love our show is because, let's face it, we're pretty hip.
I'll tell you exactly what I read. I don't need to hide it. I was reading a book called The Menopause Manifesto.
To hear more, check out patreon.com/AllisonandTodd. patreon.com/AllisonandTodd.
Okay, so what podcast are you guys working on now?
Well, currently this
things.
One.
Mm-hmm. and it is work.
I do, with Gorley and Rust, which is my podcast with Paul Russ, where we talk about horror movies. Then I have a podcast with Andy Daly called Bananas for Bonanza, which Mark works on as well.
That's right.
Where in character we watch Bonanza and review it as cowboy characters. And then I have the Conan O'Brien podcast. And then I just not too long ago finished a podcast with my wife about working at theme parks called Keys to the Kingdom.
Ooh.
Which is fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, I got to listen to it.
Nice. And what about you, Mark?
I work on Andy's show. I've been doing a lot of pedal steel guitar playing, a lot of music stuff. That's been my main focus lately.
Townland, right? That's
my band, but he plays in it.
Okay, and then
so does Tony. But we haven't played in a while. It's like mall walking.
And then what else have you been playing, or with whom have you been playing pedal steel?
A couple bands, a band called Mason Prophet, a band called Stetson Wolf.
That's cool sounding.
And then a band called Liam Flynn and the Original Sin.
Ooh. They all sound cool.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun country bar bands. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Pedal Steel's crazy.
What?
Oh, pedal steel's crazy. I can't even wrap my head around the technique behind it. And
it's my favorite sounding interest.
Oh man!
How do you do it?
You sit.
Walk us through it.
Okay. Well, let's see. You sit at a. You sit on a chair behind a guitar that looks like a little table. Mm-hmm. You have little pedals at your feet, and you have little knee levers. Your knees are sort of touching these metal.
So you're sort of a one man band kind of situation.
But seated.
A little bit, yeah.
You're using six points of contact.
Yeah, that's and your crazy. Right hand. I mean, unless you're left handed, I guess. They do make
how do you do it now? What sound does it make?
So it's tuned to an open chord and you certain string combinations. It's almost like a harp in a way. Like if you pluck the wrong strings, it does not sound good. So you kind of have to learn they call them grips. And then the pedals change the tones of the strings.
But it changes it like glides. So it's very evocative. It really makes you feel emotion like a violin or a fiddle when it slides.
There's sustain. So beautiful. The instrument has sustain abilities that most instruments don't have. You can hold a note for a very long time, and you can slowly bend it, and you can slowly
That's the signature that I think of.
Is that with pedals or with knees?
Both.
I had no idea the knees.
How many instruments can you play with knees? Is that one of the only knee-related instruments?
Cymbals.
Cymbals. Sure.
I guess probably there's hurdy-gurdy... one man band kind of stuff is going to involve your knees.
Yeah.
So if you were in an orchestra,
there's got to be a drum thing.
I mean, technically, any drum
drums,
you could hit with your knee if you want to. Okay. Yeah.
But there might be a trigger that you could. I guess what would be the point of it?
I play knee sax.
Sometimes so hard I can't sit down.
What is that?
it's not worth.
Oh come on! You brought it into the show. Now I must.
It feels like a Letterman.
It's just a line from the movie Vacation, but it just resonated with us.
Was it Vacation?
Yeah.
I know Vacation. What's happening when they say it?
He says, "Do you have Asteroids, the video game?" He goes, "No, but my dad does so bad he can't sit down sometimes."
So we've just tried to cram that into anything
at
all.
Not even
try
it; it just happens. I'd like to try not to, but I can't.
You know, I always really liked European Vacation. It was not well written, well reviewed. Most people feel that was not a good movie.
I think the kids in that one heard it. That Rusty's.
Mm-hmm. No, you know who that is? That's Blake Lively's brother.
Oh, that's right,
Eric Lively.
What's he doing now?
Rusty.
And then their sister, I didn't know that. There's the Lively dynasty. Their sister is Robin Lively from Teen Witch.
I thought you were going to say Rusty's sister in that movie.
Audrey, who died.
Yeah, she died.
Yeah.
She did?
Yeah.
What happened?
Edison. Oh, my God.
She was electrocuted?
I was just going to say.
I stopped myself. I was not trying to make a fat joke. I was just making a funny callback, but it came off like a fat joke.
I didn't even think of it either. Wow.
Thank God I didn't say it.
But admitted it. So we didn't get the laugh or the joke.
You apologize for the joke you didn't make.
Well, I started saying
it. You started it, yeah.
Yeah. So someone who's listening would have heard that. Mm-hmm. This is awkward. Yeah. This is awkward. I know. Jeez. Anyway, I wonder if I were to watch that movie now, if I would agree that it's not good.
I'm almost too nervous to watch it. I don't want to ruin my memory of it.
I watched it in quarantine in a hot tub.
And?
Not good.
Is the hot tub helper?
Yeah, it did. It was my. It's my third favorite vacation, and that's including Christmas Vacation 2.
Christmas Vacation, the sequel?
There's a Christmas Vacation 2 with Cousin Eddie in Paradise or something. Yeah.
And is the original Vacation number one?
Yeah, but that and Christmas are close.
Oh, I did not see Christmas Vacation till way past when it was out, and
I haven't seen it.
I don't think it is good at
all. Yeah, I learned that if it. Yeah, and me too. I grew up seeing it a million times.
I saw it as
tried
a fully
show it to an ex before who didn't grow up watching.
Really?
It. Really hated it.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad.
I have that with a lot of those movies from that era where I just will watch it and go like,
there's a window.
Like this?
Yeah. Yeah,
I want them to make another vacation movie, but it has to be with Chevy Chase and Randy Quaid now.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
I was going to say,
get a take.
Is your number one vacation movie the one with Ed Helms?
Oh no. I have not seen
it. I have not seen it either.
I'm waiting for it to age poorly and not enjoy it.
I just watched Karate, the original Karate Kid, with my son yesterday, and I felt like that holds up.
And did your son like it?
Loved it.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He just
but
started
our other
karate
son
lessons.
Was like, is that Karate Boy?
Called him Karate Boy. Yes. No, Elliot has started karate lessons, so I was like, maybe he'll appreciate this. And he loved it.
I showed my daughter the original Pippi movies, those 60s Swedish ones,
God,
and she really liked them, but
so
she's
long.
Obsessed with when... sadness, and so she wants like anytime someone's sad, she's like, that's my favorite part. I want to see when they're sad. Can you tell me a story about when Pippi falls in a river and is sad?
They're all psychopaths at that age.
Do you remember when we had a meeting with the school, just a regular teacher conference for Owen, and mm-hmm. you're like, you made a joke and you're like, so tell us, is he a psychopath? And the teacher was like, no, why would you say that? Which, like, he's joking.
Yeah, but now looking back, okay, first of all, he was three, which it's a legit question for any three-year-old. Yeah. Are they a psychopath? Her reaction makes me feel like maybe she thought he was. Yeah. Like, why would I be serious
about that?
Why
wouldn't she just laugh? It was
right.
It's too fantastic to even consider.
Right.
You've considered it. Yeah.
You're right.
He's not.
How could you say that about your wonderful child?
After careful consideration, I can say he barely isn't.
I mean, not technically, but we don't do tests at this age. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, he might have been.
Well, I think you're right. At that age, they all are.
Yeah, it's a phase.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
I'm sorry, but just talking about your children, and we were talking about loving great names earlier. Please share with them Elliot's magician name. It's one of my favorite things of all time.
I can't remember now if it's...
I know what it is. Okay. I try to fall asleep sometimes and it pops into my head.
Is it Doodles?
I start giggling in bed.
Okay, so Elliot, the setup is Elliot was very into magic, still pretty into magic. He can do some tricks and things like that. And so my parents got him this custom magician's cape that says The Amazing Elliot.
Oh, wow.
But he announced that actually... his name is Magician John. That's what it is, right?
Yeah,
I couldn't remember
so
if it was John the Magician or Magician John.
Yeah. Exactly. Magician John. The best.
Oh, that's amazing.
He's got a flair.
That's wonderful. I appreciate the kind of like shunning of the like fancy magician name of like, I'm not gonna bullshit you.
I'm just Magician John.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's a stunner.
That's great.
Do you remember when Elliot had to get a fill? He actually just had to get oral surgery, which we've talked about on the show. He's fine though. But before that, he had to get a filling. It makes it sound like he's got a whole array of dental things for someone this young. Mm. And they let us be in the room while they did it, and he had laughing gas. So he was like so out of it, and the dentist was making conversation with him like, oh, what are you into?
Oh, yes.
Magic. I'm just like, oh, do you know any tricks? And thinking like...
Without hesitating.
Yeah. His hands come up and he like does the... I didn't do it very well. But
makes
like,
his fingers disappear.
Yeah, but he's like... He's like, so out of it and he totally did it.
Wow.
If I must. Here's your trick.
Call me John.
Yeah.
Very funny. I think it is now time to... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say hello and welcome to the patrons since I forgot to do that last week.
Yeah.
Allison wants to say thank you to a couple of special people out there who signed to be patrons. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
All right. I'd like to say hello and welcome to Kathy Fisher, to Kelly, to Stephanie Ozen, to Patrick C., and to Daniel Fort, who upgraded. She is now a confidant. Listen, guys, if you upgrade to confidant, you should get an email that tells you how to text me. So get on it if you want to. That's sweet texting access. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
Patreon.
Also my Substack, AllisonRosen.substack.com. I'm Substacking left and right. And I have merch. Okay, let's do Just Me or Everyone.
Sometimes I ponder on something I have thought or done. Is it just me or everyone?
All right.
Wow.
Matt.
Yes.
Give it Just Me or Everyone.
Yeah, mine is, first of all, it's kind of a two-parter. When you watch a movie, some people go as far as to rate it on Letterboxd, but do you kind of rate it in your head, even if you're not quantifying it with a metric? And if so, is it contingent on how your day is going? Because that's what I've been finding, especially doing a lot of movie podcasts and maybe, you know, filing something on Letterboxd, is it's not enough to just give it a star rating. I need to classify if I've had a bad and okay or a good day, because I've had really good days, like Friday night, you're done with the week. Amanda and I, we got Glenn down, everything's good. We have a cocktail, like ordering Mexican food, and we watch a kind of real middling thriller, but it's the best movie in that circumstance. So I want to say, like, I don't want to give this 5 stars, this movie, but I want to bump it up because I've been having it's a good time. But then you'll watch a great movie and you're having a really shitty day and you're like, oh, I'm going to take it out on that movie. 2 stars.
Fuck you, Citizen
2 stars in Godfather. Who do you think you are? Does anybody else do this?
I don't.
Okay.
But
to be fair, you don't watch movies.
No, but...
Oh,
what?
I do.
You watched European Vacation.
Thank you. I do... I have seen movies. I watch movies. But I'm not someone who's seen every movie by a long stretch. Like, there's big gaps in my movie viewing history. I'm not Doug Benson.
I have a lot of gaps, too, because I tend to rewatch a lot of the same movies.
That's
my thing. I just love watching movies.
I just love watching movies that I love.
Yeah, me too.
So, and I also love looking at my phone. I'm one of those people who's like, I can't take 2 hours to watch this. I'm going to, you know, waste 5 hours just frittering my time away or like watching a show or something.
Yeah, my wife.
So,
like that.
Yeah. So, and also, it's similar to like, I was an English major. I used to read, I don't much anymore, but it's similar to like, short stories, I think, versus a novel that you're into. Oftentimes, I just want to watch something that I already know the characters that I'm already into.
Yeah.
Versus the whole new thing. So, no, I don't see a ton of movies. And I also, I don't really grade them. I have feelings about if I liked it or not, but I don't put it on a rating scale.
Yeah.
I want to say it's a male-female thing, but that maybe...
It might be. It might just also be healthy, unhealthy.
I feel like a thing. But I'm not that healthy.
But Matt, are you... writing reviews and letterbox
I don't use
ratings.
The star system, and I will write occasional reviews, but I tag them because I'm very curious to go back. I also tag any movie I watch with Glenn and whether she was into it, so that one day she literally can look back and see every movie she and I have watched together, including her first movie.
Got it.
Which was?
It just happened to be A Day at the Races, the Marx Brothers movie. It wasn't, it was like early on, and I was watching in the middle of the night when I had her. I didn't birth her, but yeah,
certainly not to A Day at the Races.
That would be nice. It's just to look back at and see. Because I have like very few okay movie okay days, you know. But a lot of bad movie
good day, or I mean good
okay day, good movie.
Good, yeah, good day.
You're saying your day, why don't you start your day with a movie?
So that it's neutral?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still, well, I mean, I think I start most days pretty good, you know? So it'd probably be, but I'd love to start my day with a movie. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's just, that's not very realistic in today's dog eat dog world.
I guess, what are my choices? Really just is. Me or everyone? I think it's a just you, only because I don't find myself rating movies. Yeah. Maybe I have a personal rating of just, oh yeah, I'm really glad I watched movie XYZ, or, well, that was a waste of time, but
yeah,
I don't
those
ever,
are my ratings.
Well, but let, maybe I should, you're right. I should put this more into the common man's vernacular.
Yeah, bring it down to us little people.
It's Friday night. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you're having a cocktail or whatever, mm-hmm. margarita.
Sure. You ordered Mexican.
Yeah. Mexican yeah. food. Mm-hmm. The kids are down.
You're wearing your robe.
You're going like, I don't want a big challenge.
And your
challenge.
Wig.
Yes. You're having a bloody Yakuza party. And let's just watch The Bone Collector, mm-hmm. right? It's not a good movie, but I bet it's pretty fun. The Core.
You is that a movie?
I mean? Yeah. The Hilary Core? Swank and... Aaron Eckhart go to the core of the earth to restart the earth's core. You know how you can travel
to the core of the earth.
Is that a
earth?
Delroy Lindo?
It might be.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
wind it up.
Wait, why yeah. are they going to restart it so it doesn't?
Oh, because it's running out of fuel.
Oh.
Right.
It's stopping spinning.
Why didn't anyone think about that?
Right.
That is
because
what
the earth
the
runs out of fuel.
Yeah.
And how, well, how do they restart it? Like with two
I think
sticks?
With nuclear fission explosion or something. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not even. I think actually that one wouldn't be like. Good. It would be at the most that could get elevated to an okay movie by sure. a good day, mm-hmm. but a movie can be brought down by a bad day, you know?
So you should, when you do reviews, you should just combine, make the review like the way that
you review your day.
Review
well,
your
the
day.
Way space and time Ooh. Are the same thing. The day and the movie are the same thing.
Yeah.
So this is your day movie review,
right?
That's you know, good. And you said it was a good day, it's a bad but movie for a good
are
day.
You notating the kind of day you had so that if you go back, you'll...
I don't say what happened that day, but I have tags on there that are already ready to go that sure. say like...
For example?
Well, I can look it up on Letterboxd, so let's see.
I need to know how these days are organized.
Okay.
Would you say, would it be like, Argyle's great to watch the day you've been audited by the IRS?
Movies, right, yeah.
Movies to be audited by.
Hardly. Okay, so I watched Wish with my daughter.
Oh, we've seen that.
Okay movie, okay day. That's a rarity with Glenn.
Is that whole thing a tag?
With Glenn, and she was into it. Those are three tags.
And this is a private journal or a public journal?
This is public. It's Letterboxd.
Okay.
Good movie, okay day. A Shot in the Dark.
Wait, sorry. So so one tag is good movie. One tag, good movie, okay day is a tag.
Is there nine permutations of that or six? Because you can have
I don't know
movie,
how...
Bad
can you have
day,
terrible
bad movie,
movie,
okay day, bad movie, good day.
Right.
Okay.
Okay movie, bad day, okay movie, okay day, okay movie, good day. So there's nine, I guess.
God, you're the king of complicated rating systems. When we rate malls, you can give them all five stores. That's the maximum. Half a store is a kiosk, and half a kiosk is a massage chair.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Roadhouse, okay movie, good day.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So that movie's not good.
No, actually, you had I don't a great... think that's fair because this is the new Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that.
If it was a good day, that was a okay. I'm going to change that.
To what, though?
Good. But if it wasn't good enough to be good.
Right. If it's a good day and it's only an okay movie, then I would call that a bad movie.
Saltburn, bad movie, okay day. So an okay day ain't really going to help right. or hurt your movie. And that means Saltburn. You're on notice.
So wait.
Do you think Siskel and Ebert used this system?
They should.
Do you think Ebert
thumbs.
And Roper used
the Prowler?
System?
Good movie, good day.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you have a good movie, bad day in there?
Not possible.
Is it possible?
Is it
like a movie so good? Yeah, I bet. Like, oh, let me see. Yeah, I bet I do. How would I find that? Good. You want good movie, bad day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good movie. Bad.
Tony, play some kind of like something day. We can listen to while this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Stall, Tony. Stall.
God, how would I even find that? Tony's
Picks.
I don't know, but I can tell you that I reviewed Casino Royale twice, and the first one is, this is the Citizen Kane of movies, and this film is my wife.
This film is your wife?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I just want
you to marry it.
I married it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So you like it.
Oh, but then I'm calling Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy my soulmate. Ooh, that's conflicting. Jeez. I don't know what
this guy
to
loves
say.
Movies.
Yeah, I do.
What's your favorite movie? I hate that question.
Casino Royale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
does
I
Tinker
a lot,
Tailor but... Soldier Spy know?
No, I love that movie too. Yeah.
I've never
they
seen
know
that.
About each other.
Well, I mean, they're Fleming and Le Carre, so they're kind of like a mistress and a wife. You know what I mean?
Which one's which?
Well, I guess technically Le Carre would be more like the wife and Fleming's the kind of spicy mistress. Mm. But yeah. Why don't we talk to someone else?
Okay. Do you have a just for everyone?
I have five.
Oh, amazing. Nice.
But I'm willing to, some of them are half-baked. They're not even.
Have you heard the show?
So let's see. One I happened on the way here. Ooh. It's about license plates.
Oh, mm. Yes. Mm.
Why are you doing that?
My thought is always.
Maybe you have them. I don't know.
No.
Because yeah. I'm paranoid like Huel. No, we don't have them. I don't know that I want to be that identifiable.
Yeah. The one I saw on the way here, it was a Jeep Wrangler, like a we're going to go out to the desert and take the roof off kind of mm-hmm. Jeep. And the license plate was Minnelli. I was like, either Liza Minnelli's going out to the desert or someone is a super fan. It makes no sense to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And it costs money.
The weird ones are the ones that are so hard to figure
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're asking to both,
I guess it's fun.
Inflate your ego and work on.
Although sometimes I'll be like, oh, that's not a personalized license plate that I've been trying to make sense yeah. of.
That's just, you know, what's a close cousin of that is the weirdly like customized checks.
Yeah.
Like you get right. some cartoon that you like on it and then like yeah. a little stamp of a, you know, butterfly. Yeah.
You get your initial in Gothic.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Why are you doing that? It's a check.
Maybe back then when everybody was trading in checks.
I guess, yeah.
That'd be weird.
At this point, you should just do... I think I did pick a custom check thing when I got my checks. It didn't cost any money.
Oh.
I was like, this is a... Checks are a joke. So mm-hmm. yeah, they should true. Be fun. Let's put a...
I guess it would be kind of fun to just get one with a bunch of kittens on it and some ridiculous.
Then you can move on. Once yeah. you're through that box, you yeah. start over.
Yeah, yeah everyone should do it once.
Yes.
I think I've had fun checks in my day.
Yeah, see?
I had Looney Tunes checks, I think.
Yeah, once. See? Yeah. We've all
I think
done
I had
it.
A little like yeah. tennis racket on mine.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, here's the next one.
Okay.
I feel like we got rid of literally in the vernacular, the misuse of literally.
My
people...
Not among my kids.
Not with the kids. Oh.
Okay.
They're all about it.
Because the policing of it became just as annoying. It's like the Dr. Frankenstein thing.
People, I feel like literally got backed off, but it okay. has been replaced by actually.
Yes.
There's a real, is yes, it just it me or is it everyone? When I hear actually, it isn't, it's a redundant word in most cases.
Yes.
Our Sacramento is actually the capital of California. I didn't say it wasn't.
Yeah, I wasn't
but
doubting
people say
that
it all the time.
You were thinking it, though.
All right, that's actually.
Yeah.
Let's see. Almost every time I'm driving, I see a Tesla driver doing the pizza slice telephone method, where they're holding their
yeah.
it's always
phone,
Tesla, huh?
And I think that is probably one of, if not the most technologically advanced, one of the most technologically advanced vehicles. Why are you holding your phone? And that like, I hope I'm describing it. Like,
no,
they're about to eat
know.
A slice of pizza.
Yeah. You can also put the phone down, even if you haven't connected it to your car, on your dashboard, and it'll still work
right.
as a speakerphone.
That, I can't believe how often I see it. Yeah. And
now
I think,
I'll probably start seeing it everywhere.
Because yeah. I have a little mounted thing yeah. for my phone, and yeah. I have Bluetooth, like,
I just want
it
pizza
all works.
It, but I'm sure Tesla's, it connects. I'm sure
yes,
there's
right.
a hands-free, it, right?
Absolutely there is.
Yeah.
No one ever uses it. Is it bad?
It must be bad.
All right, that's one. Which also then dovetails into, I feel like we're at an apex for LA driving being bad.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. You thinking it can't get worse?
Oh, it could, but I feel like, what did I say? So many people don't live here. Or they're new to LA. So you have a population that's lost. Weed is legal. So you have people that are high. Mm-hmm. You have distracted people that are just on their phone with the pizza slice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is illegal, by the way.
Yeah. competitive people. Well, so is being high.
I guess so.
In a car, you can get a DUI, and then people are late. It's a toxic stew of driving.
Yeah.
So that isn't just me.
No, I think I agree with all these so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like it got worse after the pandemic.
Yeah, I do think it. Yeah,
I think agree with that. A year off, everyone forgot how to drive.
I've noticed a lot of road rage.
From me.
I'm wanting to leave home less and less these days, just because I just get instantly annoyed once I start driving. Yeah.
This truly is like the Andy Rooney memorial segment.
You ever notice how some people rate their movies with an okay, a good, and a bad?
The funny thing is, I have a segment called "Make Go Fuck Yourself."
I don't think I understood this segment,
but which I haven't done in a while, and yet just me or everyone is turning into it.
Oh yeah.
Well, I was just looking through to see if I had a Just Me or Everyone. I do have a Hey, Go Fuck Yourself that I wrote.
All right. Well, maybe we'll do that. Ago. I have a Just Me or Everyone. But I want to hear your other ones.
Oh, my final one is concert behavior. Is just getting worse.
Movie behavior, too.
Like
And driving behavior. They're all headed
How's the concert behavior getting worse?
I just think there's just like some shoving and some leaning. And if if you're in a general admission... Obviously, if you're at a classy place with seats.
Right.
But even then, people are...
They're shoving and they're leaning.
They're just like not paying attention. I don't know. It's like, you came here.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show. I don't know. Why are you trying to fight me and to get up to the front when that's not cool? I don't know. I've noticed it more and more.
And you're noticing these at your pedal steel concerts?
Yeah. No. No one's at those. There's no problem getting up to the front. That's it. Those are my just me's. It feels like they're everyone's. They're all
it's
everyone's.
Interesting. Yeah. Is behavior at live shows getting worse? Because I used to go to a lot of rowdy shows, and it wasn't great then. I mean, like with a mosh pit or anything like that. Like I would just avoid getting into that melee. But are these like rock, you know, punk rock bands?
Well, I can tell you this over the weekend, I saw this band called Krongbin. They're a trio.
Walter Krongbin?
That's it. Good night and good luck. Wrong guy. No, but they're just a trio. They're like an instrumental, funky bass, guitar, drums.
That shouldn't be a crazy crowd.
They're kind of a jam band, maybe, but not really. I don't know how to describe them.
How
but
long is like one song?
They're great. Depends. Still some of them
how
are
long
short.
Could it be?
They've only played one song and it's still going.
They have a couple that are a couple minutes, like 3-4 minutes.
Oh, that's not crazy.
Yeah.
So it's not true jam band.
The guys
are not incessant noodling.
I would say they're the opposite of that, and yet the songs feel like jams. They're not really jamming.
Like War on Drugs?
You'll just have to listen. Krongbin. Okay.
Krongbin.
Well, I mean, they're in the other segment. They're on my list.
Oh, great.
But at that show, I just had people, we were just standing it was a big open room. There was no seats. And it was just constantly in the show, just people. And it wasn't really a mosh thing. It was, I think, people trying to get through. Plus I got to get my photo of the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Why?
Phones in general. Are just ruining everything. Because like so much of it is, it's even just, they might just be walking, but just staring at their phone the whole time and then running into you. That happens.
And then I just worry, like, I'm a crank. I am becoming, I'm already a crank, and everything around me is making me more of a crank.
I have a friend, or had a friend a while ago, whose dad was always pissed off because at malls, people were constantly running into each other. And what he would do, sometimes he said, was he would take a Sharpie and take the cap off and he'd just hold it. And so just he'd just hold it. And if someone ran into him, they'd get a Sharpie mark on their on their leg or on their purse or whatever.
Oh, and then minutes or hours later go like, oh, what happened there?
Yeah. And it was just like his little...
But you know, in his mind, he's like, someday it's going to be a knife.
Who knows? It was always like...
Whose dad was this? Did I know this person?
Yours.
This was Seth.
Oh, okay.
He ended up converting to Hasidism. He became like, while I was living with him. So for a year I lived with someone who's Lubavitch. Oh. But that was wild. But his dad.
But also he was a DJ, right?
No, but he was into rap. He wrote for rap. He wrote reviews for Rap Pages, Larry Flint's rap magazine, while he was a Hasid.
What?
So he would...
Larry Flint had a...
Yeah. Yeah. So he would like.
Wait, what?
It was. Yeah. He was an interesting dude. Yeah.
Matt, I want to ask you, since this guy with the Sharpie reminds me of Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Yeah.
what if you had a bad day and you watched a really good movie about a guy who had a really bad day?
What would that be? Because I don't think falling down's a very good movie.
It's not.
Yeah, I think that also might be a contentious comment. Some people really like it, but I'm trying to think of a movie like that where there's kind of like a...
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Wait, or yeah, but, you had a bad day, but the movie's about somebody having a great day.
Right.
Well, It's a Wonderful Life is interesting because I think that would bring me up because I would go on the bad ride with him and go like, I get it, George Bailey. Wait, this can happen to me too? Okay, there is hope. Yeah, I think that would bring me to an okay day. Yeah.
I'd come over and draw on your leg with Sharpie though.
And I'd be back down to this movie sucks.
Okay, my Just Me or Everyone, and I feel that I'm going to offend people with this one, and it's also very specific. I have a weird thing about when people refer to it as feeding themselves versus eating.
Well, yeah, you know, I guess I understand that. Like, I never thought about
like
it.
I don't like when people say, I fed myself, or can you feed yourself, or feeding myself, or whatever, and I'll tell you why. I may be wrong, but to me, it feels like, I'm trying to articulate this. I wish I had known I was going to do this segment.
Yeah. I should talk to the producer.
It feels like infantilizing and almost being condescending to yourself is how it feels to me. Like you feed a baby or you feed someone else, but it feels like someone's like, I am going to take care of my inner child.
Can you condescend to yourself?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's what it feels like. And by the way, I'm someone who I have on this show talked about pretend like imagining hugging a younger version of me. So mm-hmm. I'm all about that shit. And yet this is like, I'm going to take care of the little girl inside. I'm going to feed her if she... I don't like it.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't think I've ever heard this.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was going to say.
I've never said it.
I don't think it's that common, but I think it's common among people who are like really trying to take care of.
Yeah.
But I
could see that. If you're trying to reframe eating as nutrients and a more sort of basic necessity of humanity, you could say, like, have you fed yourself today?
Yes.
Like, that feels like a clinical thing for somebody who may be
having problems with eating.
Or just, I don't know.
Yeah, could be see, that. For all the reasons you just said, I should not have a problem with it. And yet, for some reason, it, like, I don't know.
It's cute.
It kind of rubs me the wrong way.
In the clinical sense, I would, like, if it was that clinical thing, I don't really have a problem with it. But if somebody just casually was like,
saying it.
Hey, feed ourselves over at Larry's Pub? I'd be like, feed ourselves? What are you talking about?
But if it is used in the kind of like cultural sweep of self-care terminology, that stuff drives me
That's exactly
bonkers.
What it is.
Yeah.
If in a clinical setting, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
And for someone who is truly like struggling with any sort of disordered eating. But in a TikTok, that's what it is. It is, it's self-care speak.
TikTok is, I'm not even on
it's
TikTok.
Great.
Oh, great. I'll get on.
I like to look at TikToks and things. Yeah. But yeah. All right. Great. Let's hear your.
Oh, it's not great or anything. But mine is hey, go fuck yourself. It's bands hired to perform at Christmas events who don't perform Christmas songs.
Who does this?
There's one band at
every
Burbank
year
Christmas
crazy.
Walk.
So there's Burbank
Christmas in the Park.
Christmas in the
or
Park.
Holiday
they
in the Park.
Close the street off and like there's all these booths and it's everybody comes out and it's very and there's this one band that's there every year and they never fucking play Christmas songs. They play like I don't even know like Tom Waits or something like they play like that kind of like bar rock
bar bluesy
songs.
Rock.
It's like
the White Man's Blues.
Yeah, kinda. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Everyone here, there's three Santas on this block.
Right.
You know, like, serenade us. Give us Christmas songs.
Absolutely.
They never do it.
That's an affront. Yeah.
So, hey, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
Hey, go fuck yourself. It's like, this isn't your chance to get discovered.
What's the band called? Ebenezer.
That's what they're called.
Ebenezer. They're just here to fuck your Christmas. Yeah, probably fuck your Christmas.
Name. Yeah. If anyone else would like to tell someone to fuck off, this is your chance. I know I hadn't told you guys we were going to do this.
Oh, yeah. Mm. This is a risky segment.
Hitler. Is Hitler? It too late?
Too late.
It's more timely than ever.
Okay.
Now more than ever.
Yeah.
Hey, 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 go fuck yourself.
All right, let's do Podcast Pals product picks.
Podcast Pals product picks.
All right. I hear you have one.
Me?
You both have them, yes.
Yeah. Oh.
What is that?
What are we talking about?
This is called Brick. And there are all kinds of little things in your iPhone that they say, you know, oh, this will help you reduce screen time and all that stuff. But they're so easily bypassable.
Yeah.
This is this little physical thing that all you do is you go to your Brick app on your phone where you've pre-selected which apps you can and can't use.
Ooh.
And you just simply touch it, scans it. And now I can leave this at home and I can go out with my wife and daughter and I can't check my email. I can only get texts. I can still use map and podcasts if I want to take a walk or like Nest thermostat and things like that. But I can't use Instagram or social media. And I can be present with my family.
Can you get one of those and use it on someone else's phone?
I did buy one for my wife, and she has yet to use it.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
Oh,
when
it's
you
so
break it?
It's so light.
So interesting.
Ones, so the apps are still on the screen, but they're just sort of faded.
They're dim. They're grayed out.
I really love it, and I'll do this even when I'm at home or something, because you'd be surprised. Even if it's in the other room, sometimes you won't get up to go access it. So
then how do you unbrick it?
Same way you brick it. You just scan it like that. It's really easy.
Wow.
And then they're back.
Can we talk about... Well, I was going to say, can we talk about the things that led you to need this? And then I noticed that you and Daniel basically have the same wedding band in different metal colors.
Oh, yeah. This is my grandpa's. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was your grandpa's too, his.
Yeah.
Very close.
Okay, I have a real problem with my phone as well. I mean, I assume you do. I actually don't know if you do.
I don't. I just really am conscious of not wanting to be on it. It depends. Sometimes, you know, we all go through our phases, but it's also now social media is boring me more than anything else. Ooh. So my problem is like New York Times games. I'll get on those a little more than I should.
But you feel that you need to make it so that you cannot access these things?
It's just easier. So if I go out, I have my phone in my back pocket and like I'm with my family and we're walking and we're not talking and I'll just sometimes bring it out and just look at and see if I got an email or something. Mm-hmm. And then when I know this thing's bricked, I don't even bring it out because there's no point. I still get the urge sometimes, but you just don't. And then by like a couple hours in, it does kind of leave your mind. And I feel like my brain starts to slowly wire back to what it used to originally be. It can never fully be that again, but it does feel like I do lose a little anxiety. Not even like because I'm obsessively checking my phone, but just because it becomes a kind of non-entity. And it does. It's amazing that you don't feel the lift of anxiety, but when you get the anxiety again, you go, oh, I didn't have it, you know?
I think I have to get one of these, Daniel.
Yeah, and they're cheap. Sure. They're like $30 or $40 or something like that.
Yeah, that's so much cheaper than me throwing your phone into the street.
It is cheaper.
I think I might want one of those too, because I feel like the problem for me is when I just casually, without thinking, are on Instagram and then TikTok does this, but I don't go on to TikTok. And you're doing the endless scroll. Yeah. And it's just like, you're just hypnotized by that scroll. And I'm not even, I don't need to see any of this shit.
And for I think like a few years, I've been circling those light phones that are, you know, very stripped down. Yeah. But with certain phone plans, you can't get. It can't work very well. And then this thing just popped up and it has been everything it's advertised for and much cheaper.
How long have you had it?
About 6 months.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, damn it, I need to send an email or I have to.
You have three emergency, you can do that, but you can't, you have to really save them. And so I've never used one. And there have been once or twice where maybe I could like technically get on Safari. You can get rid of Safari in here and then check your email, or I could use my wife's phone somehow or whatever. But no, I've never had to do it. And I think you'd be surprised at how often you really don't need those things. You
know? Yeah. I'll be like, ugh, and then like the being frustration with myself and the way I'm spending my time. And so then I close Instagram and then my fingers just automatically open it right up again.
Yeah.
Like I mean
disgusting.
To go to something else and it's so automatic.
For long stretches too, Amanda and I would go off social media and we would cancel we would like sign each other out and do new passwords.
Yeah.
And that was really nice. There's something about, it's not like we were like, if I don't have you sign me out, I'll check it all day. It was more, oh, it's a done deal. So you just shut it off in your head.
Right.
And that's, I think that's what this does. It's like, there's no question. So you stop worrying about it.
Right.
Yeah. It's nice.
Interesting. Wonderful. And Mark, what's yours?
Well, mine is pocket Wi-Fi.
A Japan.
Honestly, if you're traveling internationally.
I've heard this. Yeah. If you go to Japan, you have to get this. How does it work?
You just have a device that's maybe twice the size of a brick.
I'm sorry.
No, but honestly, all the things you've said about social media, Instagram, all of that, I have those same things. And when we went, I really did want to avoid using that stuff. And I also needed Wi-Fi to navigate and to translate. I don't speak Japanese. I have a couple phrases, but that's about it. And it was so useful to have Wi-Fi. And it was a sort of tightrope walk of, can I not use these apps?
Right.
But use the vital one. So this would have been helpful. But I also brought a camera. I borrowed a really nice camera. And I found how I was going to interact with the world. If I wanted to take a picture of something, I wasn't grabbing my phone. Mm-hmm. I was doing it with the camera. So that was great. But pocket Wi-Fi, when you just have this little thing and they give you a return envelope and you just
You rent it.
You rent it. And then, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Is it expensive?
Not too bad. No, it's like $8 a day. But like otherwise, I like my phone, whatever, for whatever reason, I can't say like I'm going to be in another country for a while. My phone plan is like, well, too bad.
Can I give you a hot tip? Maybe this will be my
product. Do you like the SIM card?
T-Mobile, free international data.
Oh, yeah, that is a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a game changer for me.
I'm
when
sure.
Yeah,
I would love to not use it. I would love to not need to rent a Wi-Fi thing, but I'll also like at no point did the phone say like, you can't use your phone. You're in another country.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my other product is Krongbin. You got to check out this band.
Yeah, I'm crushing Krongbin crypto.
Are you?
Yeah.
This may be another just me or everyone, but do you have stuff in your life that you're like, this thing's so great, I can't tell you about it because anything I say about it is going to make you people who don't know about it dubious. Like if I told you that Krongbin is a trio and it's a man guitar player, a female bass player and a male drummer, and the bass player and the guitar player wear Cleopatra wigs.
Yeah.
If I told you that, would it make you go like, I don't need to see that?
I don't know. I might want to have a yukata party with them.
And if I told you the guitar player has one guitar pick and one guitar, he has one pick
he's
and
like
one guitar.
Bricked
that's
his
Brian
picks.
May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just a lot about him where you're like, wait, because they're not a jam band, but the songs
we need
kinda,
to hear.
Yeah, I just
a little
think
bit.
They're great.
Is there a song from Krongbin?
Is there any singing or is it just instrumental?
There's very little singing and, I can't tell you a title I think also we're in an era now where streaming music has just ruined how I used to consume music, which is like stare at a record cover or a CD cover. Now I just go like, put on a playlist and it's just on in the house.
When you say jam though, is it noodly?
Sounds.
It sounds noodly and then you see them live and you're like, oh, this is actually calculated.
Okay.
Like the parts are calculated.
Is it Prague?
No. I would know if it was Prague. Matt would really know if it was Prague.
Is it?
It's funky. They're kind of
para Prague.
What do you mean?
Like it's beyond Prague?
Oh, I'll say yeah. It's beyond Prague.
Oh wow. Post
Prague.
Have you found him?
Yeah. Does the title? It seems Texas Sun is their most popular.
That's
song
that's with another guy. That's with Leon Bridges. Okay. I mean, that's a good song, but it's not pure Krongbin.
I just went with the number one.
There's one that's like someone's in a room.
Yeah.
There's one. Can I look at the list?
Yeah, I can only turn this so far, though. There's the most popular.
Scroll more. Can I see more choices?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You want
now? Why would you know if they're prog?
You know these albums.
It just sounded like they were prog to me, like you asked.
Oh, yeah. No. He said, "Oh, I would know if they're prog," and then he said, "You would know if they're prog."
Oh, okay, I love prog rock.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Krongbin sounds like it would be like some sort of German.
It's the Thai word for airplane.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, it'd be a better band name to just be the Thai word for airplane.
Yeah. Krongbin.
No, I'm kidding. I like your band name.
I feel like they might sound like Primus.
Yeah. I thought of Primus too.
Something from this or no?
You could just pick a random one and then just be done with it.
Why can't I name? I should look at my own device. Is really what I should.
Like that with the War on Drugs. They're one of my favorite bands, but
yeah,
and I mean this as a compliment. So many of their songs sound alike. I just put them on as an atmosphere as opposed to a song, you know. And I think
I've never
that's
heard
the intention.
Of the War on Drugs.
Mm. I heard of them first because of Vanderpump Rules. That's something that Ariana and Tom used to listen to.
Oh, really?
No, I
don't. Are they like atmospheric or something? What are they?
In a way, yeah, kind of. Yeah, just moody. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I don't have T-Mobile, so I don't get service back here.
Well, right. We're in America.
That's true. I don't need this pocket Wi-Fi.
Oh, in the studio.
There is a song. And it is called, I will know it when I see it, because it's such a weird, Evan finds the third room.
All right.
Prog.
So it's so prog.
Evan finds the third room. I also find that once people hear some of their music, they go, oh yeah, I've heard this.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
It's nice.
Like disco prog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that it's positive.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes is the Thai word for no.
It's almost loungy.
Yeah, it's got some lounge, atmospheric.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like you're out in the desert, maybe.
I feel like it's just this side of funk to not be what I would think of as jammy.
Yeah. I think after seeing them live this last time, I was like, oh, they're funky instrumental Pink Floyd. Because they do go off the way of
sure.
Pink Floyd.
Like a little psychedelic.
But the guitar players, also we read on the drive home, Christina like loves to go and be like, how can I learn more? And so one of the things that he was trying to, with his guitar, he's trying to do vocal lines. He's trying to sound like a singer.
Frampton. A little bit.
Yeah. It's just another voice.
That was much too much time spent on Krongbin.
Well, Tony will tighten it up.
Do they put on a show, though? Or because they feel like a band that you put on not to watch.
That's me. Sorry. That's why they probably wear the Cleopatra wigs. Mm. No, they kind of dance around. I don't know.
Well, that was a serious comment.
What?
The wigs.
They truly do wear wigs, because I think at one point one of them said, like, oh, if I wear this wig on stage, like, I can go out about my day and no one's ever going to recognize me. And
that's
really true. There's a photo of them without the wigs that I think has been scrubbed from the internet.
Wait, are they that big that they need to worry
they
about this?
They just did Coachella. Like, they did outdoor stage at Coachella this weekend. So and last weekend, because there's two weekends.
God
and they're
damn.
Exactly
okay,
the
boomer.
Same.
You don't even know.
Yeah, I know. Had you heard of them?
No.
Till today.
I've heard of Till Tuesday.
Yes, but today's Monday.
That tracks.
Yes,
that's right.
Yep. Tony, have you heard of them?
No.
Okay. So either we're all really out of it.
Put them on, cook dinner, hang out.
I like that.
Poolside.
Put them on, feed yourself.
Tony.
Tony, you devil.
Well, listen, this was too much fun.
Yes.
Let's do this in
every
2 years.
2 years.
Thank you so much. Where might we find you? Let's say people are like, I need more Matt Gourley.
Oh, just those podcasts and then to Matt Gourley on social media. Yeah.
You know, I forgot to do my little spiel that I usually do before I go into the plug. So I'm sorry. I rudely am inserting myself in here. But I just want to say to the listeners, you may have noticed not a lot of ads. Normally, I would have been segueing left and right. I have been dubbed the queen of segues, and I don't even know if I know how to do one anymore, as evidenced by me just elbowing this in here right now. So, yeah, it's a little thin ad-wise right now. But that is why I am relying on your direct support if you, you know, want to. Patreon.com/AllisonRosen
or
AllisonRosen.substack.com.
Substack.
Help keep this. We need that. Help keep this show going. Then, and so many of you guys have stepped up on the Patreon. So thank you. It means the world to me. Okay. Now, Mark.
Yeah.
Where can I find you?
I'm on social media at Mark McConville.
Wonderful.
Matt and I both work on the Andy Daly stuff, which is very fun.
He's
and
hilarious.
That's a Patreon too. Yeah. Tony, it's a Patreon.
Patreon.
Hey, my podcast with Gorlin Rust is a Patreon. It's a
Patreon.
Everybody going to Patreon. But yeah, Andy, I'm really pleased to be working with Andy. I think he's so funny. And this guy too.
I'm all right.
What's the name of his? Well, we know about Bananas for Bonanza. But...
That's it.
Yeah, his Patreon, I think, is just...
Oh, it's the Andy Daly...
Patreon podcast project. It's got a real mouthful of a name.
Yeah.
But if you look for Andy Daly, you'll find it.
My favorite Andy Daly was the Bill Cosby Bukowski character. That's John Daly.
Yeah.
No, well, who's Andy Daly?
I think you're an Andy Daly fan, too. Didn't he have, like, the... You know who he is.
You do.
Yeah. He's blonde.
Oh my God! Cut this part out, Tony. We have a deal. Nothing that makes me look bad.
But didn't he have a? What did he review? He did
review.
The review.
Yeah.
Review. Is that what it was
review?
Called?
Yeah.
Okay, that was great. My favorite. So start from right. My favorite Andy Daly thing was review.
Oh, it's the
so
best.
Good, right?
Yeah. What was the premise of that though?
He was reviewing life.
Life. Oh, yeah.
Whatever anybody asked him to review.
And his life slowly gets unraveled as he.
I mean, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think he reviews divorce in like the third episode.
Where he's like, something goes horribly wrong and then he has to eat a bunch of pancakes.
Oh, yeah. I'm due for a rewatch of that, I think.
John Daly's really funny, too.
Though. No. If your name is John Andy Daly.
Magician John.
Forget it. Tyne. You're all the same to me.
Tim or Tyne.
I'm Magician John, and this is your daily trick.
See what I mean?
I'm actually going to pull this card out of the deck.
Just the land of confusion.
Wonderful. Daniel.
Yeah, follow me at Daniel Quants if you feel like doing shit like that.
Great. Tony?
Instagram mostly these days at
Tony Thaxton.
And Motion City Soundtrack will be on tour in May and June. End of May.
Living Spaces.
Oh, that's right.
We have them for a few different people.
Do you have Sports Chalet?
Oh my God.
You should get a Sports Chalet.
You got to get her back.
Why do I keep fueling the fire here? I've got to get home to a napping child or a bedtime child. Yeah.
To what?
To being hit.
Yeah.
Right
and
in the glasses.
I mention all my stuff, but also you can subscribe to me on TikTok. I'm the Allison Rosen over there. And then also YouTube, youtube.com/AllisonRosen. Get to all my stuff. Go to my link tree. And you can get to that by going to allisonslinks.com. Everyone, thank Tony. Great job with this Tony's Picks.
Thank you so much. I really did all the heavy lifting.
You did. Everyone, thank you. Listeners, thank you for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show? We had a good time. But now we gotta go. Yeah, Allison Rose.